still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still.
Be.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Still and know, be still, be.
Thanks, Tim. And I think we're all centered down now and ready to meet today's speaker, Faye Cox. Faye is a cherished friend and one of the conveners of a local wisdom circle group with whom I've been walking the wisdom path for many years. The teaching that she's bringing to life for us is from chapter 7 of The Wisdom Way of Knowing. Its title is Seeing with the Eye of the Heart. As I reread the book this week, I found myself strongly reminded of another little book of wisdom by Saint-Exupéry, The Little Prince, in which the tiny hero of the story reveals his discovery. And now, here is my secret, a very simple secret. It is only with a heart that one can see rightly. Anything essential is invisible to the eyes. Faye met Cynthia Bourgeold in 2005 at a spiritual paths retreat at Casa de Maria, where she experienced an amazingly strong kind of recognition energy that this was the teaching her heart had longed for so long. And she became a committed student of Cynthia's, 17 years now. In 2012, she began leading a group at Trinity Episcopal Church in Santa Barbara in the teaching and practices of Wisdom Christianity. For many years, they met in the meditation chapel to share their reading of Cynthia's books and to do centering prayer. This has now taken the form of Faye's leading monthly online teachings, so look for them on Trinity's website. Since 2018, she has met weekly with a group of Cynthia's senior students, including Heather Roos, who began our series. Together, they continue to deepen in understanding and practice, and to hold the post on the West Coast for this stream of wisdom to grow. Another form this teaching has taken in Faye's life is a publishing venture called Our Books. I'm very excited about this one. These are books that take 1 hour to read and make transformational thinking more widely acceptable and available. For example, regenerative, economic, and agricultural models that are all based on principles of interconnection and care for our living planet. And no introduction would be complete without mentioning Faye's joyous life with her granddaughters, Hazel and Addie. Painting, playing in clay, reading Harry Potter, and participating in the wonderful children's program at Trinity. So let us sing to Faye our collective welcome and blessing as she steps forward to guide us into seeing with the heart. So if Tim will pop that up, we can raise our hands and join with everyone else to sing.
We bless you as you share your gifts of spirit, light, and insight. We welcome you with joy.
The podium is yours, Faye.
Thank you, Pat, for that lovely intro. Thank you, Judah. Thank you, Tim. Thank you to Word and Life, that has become such a faithful and abiding presence in our community and in an expanding community. I am really grateful to be here with you and grateful to bring particularly this chapter to our community today. And we can talk about seeing with the heart, and we will be, and we can also practice seeing with the heart. So let's begin with a simple practice. And Tim, if you would, take us back to community view. Because it is so good to see each other, to see each other's faces, and to become present to this collective body. And I'd like to lead us in just a simple practice that will itself be a practice of three-centered being that Cynthia speaks so much about. Three-centered being, which is the gateway to seeing with the heart. And so let's begin with a simple motion of softening our eyes. Just allow your eyes to soften as we receive and see each other. And notice the shift that brings, just softening our eyes as we welcome each other. Welcoming each other into presence together. Notice too, as we welcome each other, that we are being welcomed. We are receiving each other and allowing ourselves to be received. And as we're softening our eyes, let's also be present to our breath. Be present to our breath in our heart center. And feel in our chest where our breath just comes naturally and leaves naturally in another exchange of giving and receiving. And with our attention, sensing our hearts, even sensing from the inside the beating of our heart, or a desire, a wish to feel the beating of our heart. Just with simple, gentle attention in our heart. And noticing any shift that brings to our sense of presence. Any warmth in our beingness. And then adding in simply, taking our attention into our hands. Into our sit bones as they seat. Ourselves on our chairs that hold us up. Becoming present to sensation in our hands, where our bodies meet, the chair, and also where our feet meet the earth. Our faithful, faithful earth. Always holding us up. And in that sensing in our feet, just send a blessing to the earth, a thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And back, our attention back into our heart, noticing the shift. As our hearts warm and expand in this collective, we are connected in a luminous web. And notice our hearts warming in that connection and keeping our eyes soft, sending gratitude and thanksgiving that we can gather together in this way. So thank you for that beginning practice. Thank you. So Tim, if you want to take us back to speaker view, that's a taste of three-centered practice, and we will be going back and forth between speaking about this seeing with the heart and practicing. So we're engaging this book and this teaching in a time of intense division on the planet, a time of intense division between left and right, but also power and forces of authoritarianism against our more egalitarian hopes and dreams, a time of ice caps melting, a time of species extinction. And we have a role to play at this time. I was recently with Cynthia in British Columbia on retreat, and she spoke about this time as a time of great darkness. And that's very sobering and very challenging, but we all are experiencing it. So it's better to name it and to be present to it. And also, Cynthia reminds us and reminded us in BC last month that we are at a time of evolutionary shift. And she spoke again about Teilhard, one of her great teachers, Teilhard de Chardin, both a priest and a paleontologist who saw the sweep of evolution from a very, very large view. And we are at a time of evolutionary shift where things do intensify. Things do become contained and intense. And in this time, Cynthia speaks about our cosmic responsibility. We have a role to play at this time. And may this invigorate us with a sense of our own role to play at this time. The role that we have to play, Cynthia launches right in Chapter 7, that we have a cosmic responsibility, and the role that we play is actually as artists and alchemists, bringing the divine influence into this world, into this world that feels very fractured and full of turmoil to us now. So we have a role to play, and we have work to do in order to play that role. And thankfully, the work we have to do is already planted within us. It's already planted in our very nature. It's not something we have to make up. It's not something we have to drum up. But it is already planted in our very own nature. And we can be invigorated. We can be stirred to a greater aliveness because of recognizing we have a role and a responsibility. She calls it a cosmic responsibility at this time. Yes, she says, we are the artists and alchemists giving form to the divine, emerging out of the eternal into the now. And in order to play this role, she says, creative perception is required. And so we come to seeing with the heart. Our cosmic responsibility requires us to grow this capacity to see with the heart. And thankfully, that is a gift that is already given to us. It's already planted in the depth of our being, in the depth of our very I amness, is this divine heart with the capacity to see from wholeness. And this capacity to see from wholeness, we can see wholeness in the world. So this is our work. This is our responsibility. It's already planted in our nature, in our true nature. And so I'm going to start us with a chant from the first dialogue of the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. There are four discourses, and in the first discourse, Jesus speaks to his disciples and says, find contentment at the level of the heart, in the presence of the image of your true nature. I just want to say a little word about the word image in this. Essentially, in this teaching, the word image could be understood as the hologram within us, the hologram of God's nature within us. Within us, our I am, that is a hologram or a fractal of God's I am. And this is the true nature already planted in our being. And we are stirring and invigorating with these practices so that we can be artists and alchemists, emitting this wholeness into our planet at this crucial time. So the words are, find contentment at the level of the heart, in the presence of the image of your true nature. One more time. Find contentment at the level of the heart, in the presence of the image of your true nature, in the presence of the I amness within. So I invite us into that three-centered presence that we've already practiced with soft eyes, with awareness in our heart and sensation in our body. Find contentment at the level of the heart, in the presence of the So more about this heart that we are learning to see from by taking our attention more into our heart. And I will say that our physical heart, we know from heart math that it's a great energetic field. It's not exactly the seeing with the heart that we are learning to see from, but it is a gateway. And we can trust, you know, the faithful beating of our heart. So the heart that we're learning to see from is a hologram, a tiny replica of the divine intelligence. It's, you know, this phrase, we are a drop in the ocean, and the ocean is within us. It's something that our heads have trouble with, perhaps, but our hearts can understand that we are a drop in the ocean, and the ocean is also within us. And in this sense, our heart is a hologram of the divine intelligence. And therefore, it can see wholeness in our fractured world because it sees from wholeness. Jesus in the Beatitudes says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they see God." And I heard a lovely phrase added to that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they can see God in everything. This wholeness of heart is a different operating system from the operating system that Cynthia describes as our egoic operating system. And I think it's very important that we don't denigrate or demonize in any way our egoic operating system. We come by it naturally. We have a right and a left brain. We see and perceive from either or, from left and right. And this is a givenness also to our nature. And we don't need to dismantle it. In fact, it's very useful. And yet, we can become aware when it's running the whole show. And in that moment of awareness, we have the opportunity to shift to a deeper operating system, to our heart operating system that operates from wholeness, that sees from wholeness. I'm going to read from a recent book of Cynthia's called Love is the Answer, about the heart operating system. Only the heart can see the fundamental nature of reality. The mind can never see the world as a coherent, unconditioned whole. That requires the heart to kick in. The heart, as it is understood in the West, not as a source of emotion, not even as a source of empathy, but as an organ of spiritual perception, which perceives by vibrational resonance. By being able to enter the insides of things and sense holographically the pattern from the whole. Over and over in the West comes the refrain, put the mind in the heart. Put the mind in the heart. And as that happens, the conditioned self, the busy translator, acting, doing good, participating, motivating, is gone. What you begin to see on the inside is that the world looks intimate. Intimacy is the feeling tone, is the objective, real description of the world seen from the perspective of the heart. There is an intimate belongingness, a cohesiveness, a coherence from the field. When you look at the world from the heart and see the intimacy, action flows out as effortless compassion. Effortless compassion is the external side of the coin, of which the internal is the heart-perceived intimacy. So our work, our role to play, is to awaken our hearts, to see from our hearts, because from there, we actually do transmit the qualities of God into this luminous web that connects us all. I'm going to read from Eye of the Heart about attention of the heart, and then we'll consider ways that we can awaken and invigorate this attention of the heart. The 11th century, this is from the Eye of the Heart. The 11th century Orthodox teacher, Simeon the New Theologian, precociously recognized that this mind of Christ actually emerged from a significantly higher level of consciousness than we humans can normally sustain. Without the mediating presence of this inner attention, it is flatly impossible to live the gospel teaching. He writes, "In a word, he who does not have attention in himself and does not guard his mind cannot become pure in heart, and so cannot see God. He who does not have attention in himself cannot be poor in spirit, cannot weep and be contrite, nor be gentle and meek, nor hunger and thirst after righteousness, nor be merciful or a peacemaker, nor suffer persecution for righteousness' sake." So I'm sure we all recognize the Beatitudes that we long to live. And again, the good news is that this is planted within us. This heart, this I am fractal of the heart of God is within us. And by bringing our attention into the heart, we are naturally entering into this coherence. And every motion that we make to soften our eyes, to gently let go and bring our attention into our heart, bring it into the sensation in our hands, our feet, our beingness, We are practicing this presence of God, and it's near to us. It's as near to us as our breathing. So Cynthia speaks of the two banks of practice, attention and surrender. And we've just touched on something about attention. So attention is It's available to us, and it can grow, and it's the best thing that we can occupy our egoic operating system with. By taking our attention is a wonderful function of the mind, and we can train this attention to bring us more fully present. So attention is one of the banks of conscious work. The other is surrender. We're going to practice another chant. And the chant is a chant about mercy, in which we live and move and have our being. Just as with our breathing, is an exchange. Mercy is not a one-way street, but is also a giving and a receiving in relationship with God, with the divine. And so we live and move and we swim in mercy as in an endless sea, says the Psalms. And a wonderful way to be present to this mercy, to this divine exchange that is always ongoing, is again taking our attention into our heart. So the words of this chant are mercy. I live in mercy. Mercy. I move in mercy. Mercy. I breathe in mercy. Mercy. I breathe out mercy. So live, move, breathe in, breathe out. And as we prepare to chant, I can invite us to become present to our breath and our hearts. And as we chant, chanting is such a wonderful practice for becoming present in our heart, because we actually are placing a vibration, and Cynthia spoke about vibrational resonance as a way the heart recognizes and sees from wholeness. So as we chant, we're placing a vibration on an out breath in our heart center. And I'd like to invite us to just for a moment practice a few hums, because humming, if you're ever in need of something to ground you, just can feel the vibration in the heart and in your body. Here we go in the chant.
See.
We breathe out mercy. So even though we have a cosmic responsibility and we have a key role to play and we have work to do to play that role, this work is a natural vibration in our heart. And as we enter deeper into our heart, we begin to vibrate with the qualities, with the divine qualities of hope and trust. These are deep gifts to our world now. And of course, the fruit of the Spirit, love and peace, even joy, steadfastness, courage. These are divine qualities that we access in the hologram of our heart through this conscious work. The other bank of conscious work, we've spoken of attention and how attention plays such a key role. And the other bank is surrender. John spoke so wonderfully last week about dying before you die, this spiritual maxim in many of the spiritual traditions, that our job, our practice is to learn to die before we die. And in essence, this is a letting go of our usual operating system, becoming aware of it in the moment when it's got us, when we're in its grasp or we're grasping, and learning to let go and trust this motion that will take us to our deeper heart, to our true nature, to the presence of our true nature. And this letting go, this dying before we die, this surrendering is a wonderful motion of letting go and trust. Cynthia also speaks a lot about the companion to dying before we die, which is something her teacher Rafe taught her. We can learn to live from that in us that lives beyond death. Learning to live from that in us that lives beyond death. And that in us that lives beyond death has been called many things. Thomas Keating called it true self. Cynthia refers to it often as deeper self, larger self. Gurdjieff called it real I. And again, and I am, this I am within. And from here we really do become channels of God's peace. We are by that very motion, emitting into the luminous web that connects us all, the qualities that we need, that we want, and that the world needs and wants. We're emitting hope and trust and coherence to our fractured world from God's own heart. I think we are at the time of the breakout sessions. Yes, let's go to the breakout. And what I set up for the breakout is, rather than a question, Cynthia speaks about the practices of conscious work, of chanting and meditation. She also speaks about Lectio Divina. So we're going to practice some Lectio Divina in the breakout. And the scripture that we're going to practice with is the one I took from the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, who find contentment at the level of the heart. And Tim put directions in the chat. I encourage you just to plunge right in. Quickly volunteer to read and enjoy this practice of Lectio Divina. I'll just read it quickly. We'll read the scripture three times. It's in your chat. During the first reading, listen for a word or phrase that speaks to your heart, and then just share that word. And then there'll be a second reader reading it again. What might God be saying to you through that word or phrase? And share that briefly. And then a third reading. How may God be calling us to act through that word or phrase? Share that briefly. And let's just see how far we get with the practice of Lectio Divina.